Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Him, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Children, or they will become discouraged.
Amen. Paul is dealing with this in our relationship, and familiar relationship. And what he's saying, he gives rules for three sets of household relationships. He's showing us here there's three areas in which he's dealing with in our relationships in our household. He's dealing with, first of all, he's dealing with the husbands and the wives. Secondly, he deals with the parents and the children. And thirdly, slave owners and slaves. Amen? In each case, it says, there is a mutual responsibility to submit and love. We got to submit and love. Watch this. To obey and encourage. To work hard and be fair. Huh? Examine your family and work relationships. Do you relate to others as God intended? Look what it says. Why is submission of wives to husbands fitting for those who belong to the Lord? Look what he said. This may be good, some good advice for Christian women newly freed in Christ who found submission difficulty. Sometimes when you come into the house of God, you find there's some difficulties in submitting. When people first come into the house of God, they have this issue with submission. Submitting unto leadership or authority. And he's using this as a crutch for us to understand this is how we should be in our relationship with one another, our husband and wives, and not only with the husband and wives, but our relationship with the Lord. Because believe it or not, if you want to or not, there's someone you have to submit unto. Amen. Husbands and wives, we are to submit. There's someone we are to submit upon or under. Huh? It says submit. Look what he says. Look what he says. Paul told them that they should willingly follow their husbands. Leadership in Christ. If your husband, if you're married and your husband is following Christ, amen. You ought to be following your husband. You ought to be submissive unto that husband. If he's following the will of God, we're supposed to be submissive. But Paul had words for husbands as well. You know, it's good for the wives to submit. You got a submissive husband unto the Lord. You should have no problem submitting unto him. Amen. If he's obeying and he's doing the steps and walking the steps that the Lord has called him to walk and want him to be in, there should not be any problems with submitting. Mm-hmm. Look what is it said. He said, I got something for these husbands too, so don't y'all just think that the women just supposed to submit unto you and there's nothing for you to do. Because there's something for all of us to do. Huh? He says, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Come on. If that woman is going to submit unto you, you should not treat her any kind of way. You should not be treating her any kind of way. Come on, look, I'm not saying that you won't have no disagreements, that you won't have any arguments. Come on. But you don't supposed to treat her harshly, any kind of way. Put her down. Call her all kind of names. Huh? You're not supposed to treat them harshly. And what? If you were submissive unto God, you wouldn't be doing it anyway. Because now, and you get some areas, you find some areas where there's going to be some rough roads. And there's going to be some rough times in relationships. It's just going to happen. But when you submitted unto God, you will know how to deal with certain issues that you find yourself in, that you can work out one with another. Amen? And then that you won't go lay down and You be done blast somebody out. Huh? You be done treated somebody harshly because now the harshness comes on both ends. Wives are supposed to submit unto their husbands as husbands have submitted unto God, because there's going to be some submission somewhere. And then when we submit it, he said, husbands, don't treat your wives harshly. Don't do it. Are y'all following me? Are y'all following the word? Love your wives and never treat them harshly. It may also have been that Christian men use the Roman custom of giving unlimited power to the head of the family. Because understand, back in the day, the men were the head, and they had the power, and they used that power sometime to their advantage. And you got some people right now that do the same thing. They're doing the same thing. Because I'm the man, you do what I say, that's it, and it's over with. It's my way or the highway. Because that's what? That's me first mentality. And we are not concerned about our relationship with the Lord. We just want somebody to do what we tell them to do. How we tell them and when we want it done. Come on. But the thing about it, mostly, those men, some men, they're not following the will of God. Come on. They have no Christianity in them. And it's hard. That's why I say people start going through certain things. Certain arguments start picking up. Because watch, you're going to be rewarded for your submissiveness as being a woman of God, doing what God have told you to do. You'll be rewarded. If you obey his will and his word, something good will come out of it. It may not seem like it's good, but something good will come up out of it. Are you with me? I know this is a little slow for us tonight. Watch. We wasn't expecting this tonight. It was a custom of giving unlimited power to the head of the family. And they were used to treating their wives with respect, and were not used to treating their wives with respect and love. It was just like a slave. It's just like, okay, you just do what I tell you to do. There's no love, no respect in it. Because real spiritual leaders involve service. Involve the Lord. You put the Lord in it. Any relationship ought to have the Lord in their relationship. That will help you along the way. Just as Christ served the disciples even to the point of washing their feet. So the husband is to serve his wife. What does that say? This means putting aside your own interests in order to care for the wife. Sometimes we got to put our stuff aside. I know it's hard. I know we don't want to do it, but we are supposed to put aside some of our interests. Care for the wife. What is putting aside interest and caring for the wife mean? Some things I may want to do and I can't do it. So take care of the wife. I kind of heard Lady Wright say something about Texas. And in Texas, they have a conference in Texas. There may be something that I may have to put some stuff aside. for her to be in Texas. Those are the things that husbands should be doing. Watch, especially if you have a submissive wife. If you have a submissive partner, submissive wife, there are some things we should be able to do for each other. There's submissiveness on both parts. Let me talk to you. We should not have a problem doing certain things. Because it says that we ought to be submissive one to another. But in this teaching, he's teaching us that this is how we are supposed to be, to love in our relationships. He's dealing with love in our relationships. And watch, if there's no submissiveness, there's no love. Because if I don't want to submit, no way I'm going to show you love. Because it's going to be all about me. Me first. Are you there? Put aside our own interest to care for his wife. A wise and Christ-honored husband will not abuse his leadership role. You will not abuse it. Because for one, people probably already know that you're a husband. The wife know you're the husband. There should not be any abuse in your role as the leader. There's some insecurity sometimes, a lot of times, most times. In relationships, a lot of insecurity. So that's why problems continue to go on, because of insecurity. You know, if I'm not just come in, and all of a sudden I just feel like I want something to eat, and, you know, if your wife's been working all day, whatever the case may be, and, you know, there's a tiredness there, I ain't going to come in demanding, no, you fixing to fix me something. You gonna go and get in that kitchen. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm the man. I'm the husband. That's abusing your leadership. Because there should be what? Team effort. Well, okay, I know you've been working all day, and you just get home and it's 8, whatever the case may be, come on, let's go find something to eat. Watch, even if sometime they come in, what you want to eat? You want something to eat? No, don't worry about it, I'll find me something. Yeah, I'll find something, I'll fix something, I'll grab something, whatever. That's how it should go. Boy, y'all making me work. Now I'm just playing. I know y'all getting it. Y'all getting it in. Understand. This is what we're supposed to do. This is one thing we need to get. We need to understand some things. Don't abuse. He wants a Christ-honoring husband. No one that's honoring Christ, one that's following Christ, will not abuse his leadership authority or his role. He won't abuse it. Same as the church. Just because, look, I don't have to go prove to nobody who I am. Come on, let me help someone. Even some young pastors that's going into pastoring, young preachers, let me just help, because we need to understand some things, even as pastors and young pastors especially. Some of the advice I give young pastors, and just gave advice to a young pastor getting ready to go into pastoring, I share with him, and I share with others, I say one thing, don't allow your dictation to become your devastation. That's if any advice that I can give, that's great advice, is don't allow your dictation to become your devastation. Because I've seen a lot of people's dictation become devastating. Even though we are the leaders or pastors, we should not have to stand up every week or whatever and say, I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. Every time you open up, I'm the pastor. God gave me the authority. If God wanted you to pastor, he'd have called you. It's how we gonna do this, because I'm the pastor. You know, that's dictating. And sooner or later it will become devastating. Because now you won't have any people to pastor. There will come a time when you have to make an executive decision. There are some times you have to do that. Okay, this is how we're going to do this, whatever the case may be. There will be times you have to do that. And guess what? People will be upset. But you won't have to demand and try to show people and tell people who you are, especially if you know who you are. If you are a God-honoring, Christ-honoring leader, there's nothing you have to prove but do what God has called you to do. And that's where a lot of times people go wrong, trying to get people to be afraid of them. And see, some people sometimes they don't know the difference between one that's firm, that stands on the word. If you don't understand that, sometimes people don't understand firm leadership, and they look at it as the person being a bully. But don't understand the order. Because one thing we found out, there's a lot of folk that don't like order in the house of God. And as leaders, we have to be firm in being and following the order of God. But it's not that we have to go around, oh, you're going to do this. But you're going to, no. Very much. Rebel, because it's the church. There's a difference. They'll rebel. Folk will rebel. But watch this. When you go on your job and folk tell you this is what you're going to do, you might get upset and mad, but you're going to be mad doing what they tell you to do. You're going to be complaining, mad, cussing, everything else, but guess what? You still gonna be doing what they tell you to do. Because because you got an option. You either do it or you go. And I'll find somebody else to do it. Some things in leadership you just have to rebuke. Some things you just got to, oh no, not today. No, that ain't going to happen today. Because sometimes people will try to get you, or as we say, work our nerves to get you out of character. And as a leader, you got to know how to stay in character, even when you don't want to be in character. Even though there are some things we might want to say, there are still some things we can't say or shouldn't say. Well, let me say we can't say it, but we shouldn't say it. Because you can say whatever you want to say. Amen? But then that's when you have the Holy Spirit guiding you. If you are under the auspice of the Holy Spirit, it guides us and refrain us from doing some things that we want to do. That's why Paul came and said, when I want to do good, evil is always present. But thanks be that the Holy Spirit is there to help guide me through some things when evil is encamped around me. Blessings to you. That's why James came and started teaching. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to take wrath. If we follow the Lord as we say we follow him, and we love him as we say we love him, there's some things I hear. I hear it quickly, but I'm going to speak slowly. Because if we react on certain things you hear right off, in that mood that you're in, that flesh, you'll end up saying something that you may regret later on. Come on, that's why I say be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to take wrath. There's a lot of things that we hear, a lot of things I hear, but certain things I respond on. Even though I may hear something, I may not even respond on. And sometimes I know folk are looking for me to respond on certain things. But I don't respond, okay? I give no place. I listen. Looking at you. I ain't saying nothing. I heard it. But I choose, as you say, your battle. I choose what I want to respond to and what I don't want to respond to. And they tried to trick Jesus that way. We're going to bring him and we're going to say something and see what he do and say what he say. We're going to bring this woman to him, you know, see what he do and how he act. What did he do? He got down and started writing. He didn't respond to them. He just started writing. And sometimes you got to know when to respond and when to write. Because people will try you, especially being in a leadership position. You got some people that will just nag at you just to try to get you to blow a fuse. They come out just nag, just saying things. You got husbands and you got wives that do that, just nag just to get you to blow a fuse. Just to give them an excuse. Okay. Okay. Some people just want an excuse just to be mad so they can go and do whatever they want to do. Okay, I want to go out and I want to hang out for 3 days, so I'm going to go and start an argument with my spouse or my significant other. I'm going to go and start having an argument, so I'm gone. I ain't going to worry about where I'm going. I'm gone. Yeah, so you already wanted, had your plans, but it was just a way you couldn't do it. You just couldn't come up and say, well, look, I'm going to be gone for 3 days. Where you going? So now we come nagging just to start arguments to get fuses blown, so that's an excuse now. Right there, folk will sit and find anything that they can use on their behalf just to leave the church. Pull out anything on the leader. They look at, oh, here's the leader. He looked at me wrong. The leader didn't talk to me today. He went by and shook everybody's hand but didn't shake my hand. And why he didn't shake my hand, I don't know. You know, he gave everybody a food basket and I didn't get one. And, you know, so they will find any and everything as an excuse so they can leave. Then run and talk about, well, this folk ain't no good over there. They don't care about you. They don't give you stuff you need. All this here, they just overlook you. They look at you mean and all this. Everything, try to beat you and tear you down amongst others. Wouldn't even help. But you done went and blew your money on something else. Now you expect the church to come and bail you out of something that then the next month you get your check, you still do the same thing, and you still come and trying to get something from the church, and you get mad because they wouldn't assist you. And the crazy thing about it, the main people that said that folk didn't speak, you didn't even speak. So I'm like, did you speak to such and such? No, they were looking at me strange. How you know they was looking at you? They just could have been looking in your direction. People get upset to find any type of excuse. Right. Shoot the book. Got to. You gotta ask. Because guess what? You don't know. And then we won't know that you don't know if you never say anything. You don't say nothing, but then you go tell everybody else. They ain't showing me nothing, they ain't teaching me nothing, they ain't did nothing, but we don't know that you don't know. Because you don't come and bring it to our attention. So how are we supposed to know something you don't know? Pride, yes. Because they go around trying to make people think that they know so much. But now, you really don't want them to know. So you hang around people and you catch certain little phrases and certain little things. Then you go back saying those little phrases and things and trying to look so dignified and educated. But then when you run across somebody that knows something and begin to talk to you, find out, no, you're not as smart and you're not as intelligent as you're professing to be. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, all you got to do is just let somebody talk. You can tell if they're intelligent or ignorant. People will reveal who they really are. You just got to give them time. And sometimes we don't give them time because we're so quick to respond to certain things. We don't give them time. I was in a conversation with some, as you would say, dignified, very important type people. I'm talking about, you know, congressmen, Senate, you know, people just in conversation. And an individual come up and try to talk and start speaking like they know a whole lot. And I just stood there and listened, you know, because I knew the people that I was around with the sharpness in the mind that they had was getting ready to shut something down. So when they started speaking, and they said, hold on, wait a minute. I just stood there and watched, because I know sometimes you got to be quiet and just listen. And learn something. You can't be to the point, well, I'm going to come over here and show off and act like, because I know a couple of big words, I'm going to come over here and act like I know things that's going on in politics or whatever the case may be. If you don't know nothing about politics, and I don't know much about politics, so when I'm around political people, well, I stand around and listen. And if it's something that I can talk about, then I talk about it. If it ain't something I talk about, I learn what they're talking about. Because I didn't know that. And let them know, look, I didn't know that. Because guess what? They don't mind teaching you something. People don't mind. If you don't know certain things, people don't mind teaching you. But you got to know how to present yourself around people. You got to know how to submit under authority. Don't go bullying your way in leadership. Because if you do that, you won't have any people to lead. And we got to understand that. It says, at the same time, a wise and Christ-honored wife will not try to undermine her husband's leadership. At the same time, it says, but a wise and Christ-honoring husband will not abuse his leadership role. At the same time, a wise and Christ-honoring wife will not try to undermine her husband's leadership. Yeah, you won't undermine the leadership. If that husband have put something out, you won't go and try to, okay, no, we're going to do it this way. Come here, Jacob. Come here, don't undermine. That leadership. Come on, we understand, we see that in the Word of God. We don't find a way for you to get the birthright. Trickster.
That ain't
So that ain't the same thing. Oh, there we go now. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go the debate now. Watch. Undermine. Okay. Okay. It worked. Because what? If we are on a budget, if we on a tight budget, and I know you came and you said, look, I wanted this and I want this so bad, and we say, no, we can't get that right now. Can't afford that right now. But all of a sudden, you go stick your hand in the cookie jar and you go get what we can't afford to get right now. And then next thing you know, you go hide it and put it up for a couple of months. Everything, I ain't gonna wear it right now. I'm gonna keep it up back here. But some stuff, you know, and I still got tags on, and you know that same thing. You think somebody gonna be able to forget about it? And he said, "Where you get that from? I've been had this." Yeah, no, you ain't been had that. So that's the same thing he said he couldn't get that you went and got. Come on. Come on. Don't undermine his authority. If he put something down in the household and said, this is it, this is what is going to happen, this is how this is going to be. What you said, Christ honoring, a wise Christ honoring husband, wife. That's in the will of God, doing with God, and you got two Christ honoring people. And he said, look, this, we can't do this, this is what's going to happen. And we gonna do this. Don't worry about what your daddy said. Don't worry about what he said. I'm gonna let you go to the party. You can get my keys and drive the car. You know I ain't gonna. Don't worry about it. I got a set of keys. Then something ends up happening. Because you undermined the authority, the leadership. Yeah, this is good. Because either approach causes disunity and friction in the marriage. It's going to cause some disunity and friction. It's going to cause some problems. So now fuses are really about to be blown. And some stuff is going to be said that you don't want to hear. Yeah. It's going to be some stuff said you really don't want to hear. It won't stand. Same thing in the house of God. The woman, the wife, cannot come in the house of God and try to undermine the authority and the leadership of the pastor, of the husband. If the pastor puts something out, first lady, come around. No, this is what we're going to do. You know, because sometimes people will come. You'll come. I know he ain't gonna budge. But let me go to First Lady. So she can go and work on him. Well, First Lady said we can do this. Let me show you. Let me give you an example. Watch. I'm an umpire now, called an umpire in baseball. I've been behind the plate sometimes calling the game. I was calling one game, and in baseball, what we have, if we make a call, I tell them when I begin my rules and guidelines, get up and tell them if all players are properly equipped and remain that way throughout the remaining of the game. First of all, sportsmanship start from the top on down. From start, begin with us, the coaches, down to the players. So if everybody's properly equipped and remain that way throughout the remainder of the game, make sure it's like that. Then I come back and tell them, I said, look, one thing we don't do, we don't argue balls and strikes. Those are judgmental calls. judgmental calls. Now, judgmental calls is my determination if it's a ball or if it's a strike, because your ball and strike zone may be different than mine. So I don't argue that. If I call it a strike, guess what it's going to be? It's going to be a strike. If I say balls, it's a ball. If I tell you take your base, you go take your base. But now there's come a time where anything that we may make a call that's pertaining to the rule, you can come to that particular official, get with that particular official first, and if they can't come up with a conclusion, then he'll call and ask for assistance or help. Then I'll come together, we'll come together, and we'll make the best decision pertaining to the rule. But if it's not pertaining to the rule, that there's no argument. There's no balls and strikes, whatever. It's not pertaining to the rule. So one time, a guy came, and it was a debated call about if he was safe or if he was out. And sometimes I have a better view from where I am behind the plate on third base. And the fielder, the baseman comes, and he's the one that's calling, but sometimes I may look and see, may have a better view, but it's not my call. Y'all watch me. Watch me. It's not my call. It's the baseman's call. It's not the ump's call. But if he come and ask me for assistance, he needs some help. And if I saw a better look that he didn't see, we will come together and say, this is what I saw. He really was safe. So based on that, he said, okay, you saw it better than okay. Based on that, it goes off of my ruling. Safe. So coaches come out sometimes, had a coach come out and said, you know, you go and ask him, you know, if you want. I already know he ain't going to change his mind. Because they know me. Look, it's his call. And the coach already knew. He said, no, I already know he ain't going to change his mind. If you say he out, he out. You know, and if I said he out, because they asked when I called him, I said he was out. So they called and asked for help. So he came. I already know he ain't going to change. So they came and asked anyway. So when they looked, they asked and said, yeah, he was out. I already knew you ain't going to change your mind. I said, but hey, it was no harm in him trying. And see, sometimes we try to go to the weaker person. But if that person is not strong, you change the call because you've been intimidated by somebody else. So you can't allow yourself to be intimidated by any other parishioner when you're in leadership position. You made the call. You saw it clearly. So you stick with your call. It doesn't matter who comes and try to get you to change. You stay with the call that you made. This is what is best for ministry. So you ride with it. You ride with it. This is how we're going to do it. This is how, but why? Because if it don't work out, it's on you. Then you need to know how to take responsibility for the decision that you made. That's what I'm dealing with household now in relationship. When you make a decision as a leader, as a man, when we make decisions and it don't work out, we got to be able to take responsibility on our shoulders. That didn't work out. So the next time around, as we being submissive one to another, it's no closed door. Now, oh, it's my way. No, there may be a time I might just go, let me just listen now. Because sometimes when we don't listen, we end up spending more money than we should have. Because we are bold-headed, and it's just how it's going to be. Because you got some folk think they know everything. Got some think they know everything. So if I know everything, ain't nothing you can tell me. So this is how it's going to be. So now when it don't work out, what happens? That pride set in. And we don't want to admit that we're wrong. So now you come up with something else to try to justify why it didn't work out. You come up with another excuse. And y'all know how I say it. Excuses are tools of incompetence. Those that use them seldom amount to anything, so therefore there are none. Excuses. That's what happens in the world of leadership when we are not following the guidelines of the Lord. Don't want to follow leadership because they want to be the leader. Watch, then you want somebody to follow what you say, but you don't want to follow what anybody else say. You want people to follow you, but don't want folk, but you don't want to follow people. Come on. Come on, I heard some disturbing stuff. Hey, yeah. Some disturbing today. Preachers. So how preachers act. Very disturbing. And that's not how we act as being men and women of God. Say things got to be careful. You got to be careful sometimes when you have people or folk just join your church or come because sometimes they have certain motives. Have certain motives. Everybody don't have the right motive. That's why you got to have a leader that have discernment. But see, sometimes they go after those weaker ones, those that, you know, as I say, when you got a lion and the lion is just going out to hunt, when they're going out to hunt, they go, they hunt for the ones that's weakest, or they hunt for the one that's hurt, or old and slow. They go after the ones that they know they can catch, that's slow, old, or hurt, or weak. So now, people are going to churches where they have pastors that's old and as we say, on their way out. And their motive is to be in a particular moment of time where I can come in and take over. But now you're trying to take over while they're still there, even though they're going through sick, whatever the case may be. You know, we got preachers that's causing havoc and turmoil in churches. Look, you're not pastoring, but you stand up and you tell somebody, okay, those that want me to commune, them meet me over here. What are you doing? That's not how we operate. No. Let me see. Sister Drusilla, once again. No, you can't be a wild donkey in the kingdom. Uh-huh. God gives us each a glimpse so we won't become arrogant. And that doesn't mean that we ought to act like that in that moment. Ain't no need to be in a wild donkey. That's just putting it in an appropriate way for some folk that can't take the asking. You can't be that wild donkey. You got to be. This is good. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 22. Go to 21. Ephesians 5, 21. And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is what he's saying, that we got to submit one to another out of the reverence of Christ. There's submission on both parts. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. Okay, we finished to give it to you. Wives, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ have loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Look what he's saying here. He's saying to us that we are to be submissive one unto another. Be submissive one unto another. And for husbands to love. The husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of his church. He is the savior of his body, the church. The savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so wives, you should submit to your husbands in everything. Now, here it is. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. What did he do? He gave up his life for her. Okay, let me go on and give it to you now, because people been asked this question and been debating about this a whole lot, but we need to understand, read the word of God, understand the word of God, get understanding in the word of God. He's saying, wives, when you submit unto your husbands in everything, this is how you submit unto your husbands in everything, or why you should submit unto your husbands in everything. Because if your husband have given up his life, as Christ gave up his life for her, for the church, here it is, where we can understand it. The husband now has taken on the full responsibility of the household, the things that goes on in the household, put it on his shoulders. If he made a decision, it wasn't a good decision, okay, I take on that responsibility. Christ took on the responsibility of the sins of the world, put it up on his shoulders, to the extent where he died for her up on Calvary's cross. So we are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church, that he gave up something. There's going to be a time in our lives when we got to give up something, take on the responsibility, say, yes, that was my fault. I made that decision. It was a bad decision. So I'm taking on the responsibility to get it right and to make it right. So if that husband takes on that responsibility, the wife have no other reason or no other choice but to submit unto that husband. Because he's taking on the responsibility as being the head. That's Bible doctrine. Right there. You got a husband that's taking on the responsibility, that's doing what God has called him to do, And he's given up his life as well, taking on responsibility and put things on his shoulder, carrying it. You have no other choice but to submit. And we get this and we don't understand this because we like going in and we got to use this, and men sometimes got to want to use this. Oh, Bible says submit. Submit unto me. Yeah, that's what it says. But it says that you have to do something too. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? So if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you can't demand submission. Because it's about you, that me first. And we got to understand our relationships, familial relationships. And they don't know nothing about submit. They don't know how to submit because it's them first. Because it's all about you. Can't tell me what to do. I go out, I bring in finances. Matter of fact, I make more than he makes. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. That's not respect or submitting one to another. That's not a Christ honoring role or relationship. We're not walking in the steps and the guidelines that Christ has given us. Look, many families suffer when people seek their own interests above another. Folks suffer. Families suffer when you seek your own interests above another. That's why a lot of families fall apart sometimes, because there are some people that have habits that they can't get rid of. And your family suffer because you have a habit. You have a gambling habit. You gamble up all your money. Then when it's time to pay bills, you're crying because, and you're upset with everybody because you done lost all yours at the poker table. So you mad when somebody don't give you something. You got a drug issue. You get your money and you go spend it out on drugs, drinking. And when you go and ask somebody, hey, I need some help, man, they about to turn my lights off and water off. I need some help with my rent. No, I can't do that. Now you're upset with them. Then you know if your significant other is working and got finances coming in, oh, won't you go and take care of this? This time, and I got it the next time, and the next time you're doing the same old thing. Your children get some money, you're going to try to take their money to pay for your habit. Shopping. Yeah. Shopping habit. It's a habit. And your family suffer. You suffer. Because you're working together. A lot of times we got this me first mentality, so we put everything on that leader, that husband. You the man, you're supposed to take care of the household. You're supposed to pay all the bills. I take my money and go do whatever I want to do with it. Yeah, because why in the world, watch this, I learned a lot listening, and I listen to my mom a lot, hear her say things, you know, hear people say things, watch, who in the world want somebody that's broke. Come on. Come on, ladies. You don't want anybody that's broke. So why would a man want somebody that's broke? You walk around, I don't want no broke man. But you're a broke woman. So what makes you think somebody wants you? What is it that you can bring to the table? Yeah, because we think that because I look good, and I can do the sex game, that's all I need, that's what it's all about. But you need to understand, you can get that anywhere. You're not the only one that got that. And look what she just said. Men that think that they, and you got women that think that all I got to do is throw it. Because but you don't realize there's a man somewhere and there's a woman somewhere that can do the same thing. Watch this. That got something. Y'all, this class just a turn. This class just a turn. Huh? But guess what? You can get that anywhere. A man or woman don't have problems getting satisfied or being satisfied. And if you don't want any strings attached, you can go and find you somebody and one night, bam, bam, thank you, bam, go. No strings attached. But we try to use that, and we try to use our bodies and use what God has given us and blessed us with. To take advantage of situations. Because that ain't gonna take care of you when you need to. It don't. Come on. We got to understand. It's a new ball game. It goes both ways, but if we don't understand this word, that's why I say submit one to another. I say submit one to another. You know, we only want a one part submission. You submit to me and that's it. Yeah, help mate. Where are you helping me at? if you, where are you helping me? You think help is just help in the bedroom? You didn't help me out. We don't have no lights, but you didn't help me out. There's an eviction notice up on the door, but you didn't help me out. See, y'all. But that's it. We don't want to submit. We just want that one way. Because why? If truth be told, I got single women in here. The truth be told, it's a struggle with you by yourself.
Amen. That's right.
So if you have a helpmate, it shouldn't be such a struggle. Huh? You gotta have something. Huh? Because you're showing that you're putting your part, you're doing your part. So we think that we are supposed to have a pocket full of money and your helpmate, your mate don't. You spend up all yours, but I keep mine. And that's what we're pushing as far as relationships. So that's why you're going through, divorce rate is high. Folks are running around talking about, oh, I wish I had somebody. Yes, ma'am.
Right
in the shape, huh? But it's not right in the substance. Hmm? The mind is shaking. Huh? Just because everything look right may not be the helper that's right for you. Because you got folk that's looking to find somebody beneath them. Oh, I make you look good. Hmm? Shoot, people looking at me. They, you know, you ought to be a blessing. That's because you with me. What folk normally think, some people normally, they think that and see that. That, you know, they're the ones that make you look good. Hmm? And then we end up believing that. Well, you're right. All right. What you want me to do? All right. Because somebody go, man, you got a fine one right there. You got a nice hump right there. You know, then guess what? You better keep that one. So now, it goes in your mind. I better go. Yes, he is right, making me look good. I guess he is making me look good. I better keep, because he do it. He take care of his household. I guess I better, if you do it, I don't want to lose him.
coming. No. Thank y'all fools for giving me all this money that I'm walking away here with. I love y'all. Come on. Love y'all. I love my fans. Love y'all. You can't even talk to them. Look, I'm gonna be in the Bronx. I'm gonna be in Buffalo, whoever next in that area. I'm coming to your town. I'm coming. We'll be there next. So they're selling out arenas. And we're putting it in their pockets. And we're happy about it. But when it comes to the church, I ain't giving them nothing. For them to be riding around in nice cars and living in big old fancy houses. But on the other side, man, they balling. They got it going on, man. Look at that grill. They got all the diamonds and condos on their wrists and all this stuff. Yeah, they got it going on. They got them Bentleys. They got it going on. You praise one side. But you destroy the other. So you're saying it's all right for the world to live like they live. It's all right for the world to have what they have. And it's all right for us to contribute to the world. But we won't do anything for the kingdom. All I'm good. All God is good for is a dollar. And complaints. Man, them tickets, $100 and something, man. I guess I'm a go though. Depends on who it is. And depends on where you sit at. I was gonna go to a comedy. I was planning on going to Cat Williams. I was gonna go to a comedy show with Cat Williams. They talking about seats, $400 per person down on the floor. I said, okay, I pull them up on Netflix. How in the world are you charging, and there ain't nobody else but him? Come on. I'm done. We gotta go. I'm done. I'm done. We closing this sex class. Hey, we closing this class, the sex class that then it turned into we closing. But that's why submitting one to another. Even in our relationships, we gotta know how to submit one to another. That husband is taking on the responsibility, doing what he should be doing on his shoulders. Then the wife's supposed to submit. Then the husband don't supposed to treat the wife harshly. She's contributing, putting forth every effort to do what needs to be done to be a helpmate in the household. Y'all get it. The word is telling us you got to be a helpmate. You got to be. You have a part to do as well. As a part. And if that's not happening, that will be conflict. That will be turmoil. That will be issues. That will be problems. There will be division. Amen.
Well, even with